Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Back to people being followed and lately and robbed coming out of banks and then followed to their homes and their cars, then broken into to get cash. Kathleen is in Galway. Kathleen, what happened?
Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
This happened on, well, I was ringing you because I was listening to people yesterday, but I didn't give any details and I was still robbed. This happened on the 1st of August last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was race week in Galway City. So I went to the bank. It was on a Thursday. I went to the bank to take out some money for a reason.
Yeah.
Something I would never do, but okay. I had to pay cash for a reason. But anyway, I took out the money off the counter and I continued. The car park is underground in the Bank of Ireland,
mm-hmm.
in Oranmore. So I went in, down and into my car with my money. And as I sat into the car, the bank official who gave me the money rang me to ask me, was I okay with the money she gave me?
Right.
So I said, yeah, sure, I still have it. So she said, look around there and see if you see a youth. He was behind you as you got the money, mm-hmm. and he followed you. So I looked around at first, and I didn't see him. I didn't see anybody. Now, bear in mind, it's pretty dark down there. But anyway, I looked. Yes, then I saw him. And he was walking very fast, obviously looking for me.
Okay.
But she said, hold on and I'll send two bank people down to get you out of the car park.
Right.
Which she did. So I was glad then. I was frightened, no doubt. But I got away from the car park anyway and I needed a few groceries. So I hopped into the supermarket and I got the groceries. Now, those robbers were following me, and I didn't realise it. So they obviously stayed in the car park till I came from the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Put the groceries into my car, reversed out, and came down to my home, which is 3 miles from Oranmore.
Wow.
You can drive in the back of my house, which I did. Now, I had potatoes, so I had to open the door first, and the boot of my car was up. So I came into my house and it was race week. I just put on the telly. Races were over. Turned it off again. I didn't even sit down. Went back out. And as I did, my son drove in and the groceries and my bag was still in the car. And as he did, the two of us came into the kitchen together. And I asked him to look at my phone, which I thought was giving me trouble.
Right.
So he said, yeah, go get it. So I looked around. Oh, I said, my bag is in the car. Ran out to the car. No bag. Now, bear in mind, the car was only about 6 feet from my back door. So, bag was gone. Didn't know what I was going to do. Bear in mind, it's all the money. Now, before I went into the bank, I had 950 in my bag as well.
Okay.
So the whole lot, that meant that there was 3,000 euro gone.
Wow.
Money was gone. So he followed me 3 miles from Oranmore down to my house in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
So we live on the main road. So he obviously, when I came in, he came in off the road, grabbed my bag out of the car and disappeared. So,
and was the CCTV any good? No, he was wearing what, a baseball?
He was wearing a baseball cap, and the guards went into the Bank of Ireland to view the camera, but they couldn't see his face.
Yeah. Now, there is a codicil to this. There is a... Your handbag was found.
That was the 1st of August 19 that happened.
Okay.
So in April, gone there this year. My neighbour was out walking with his children,
mm-hmm.
and he spotted the bag under the hedgerows.
Right.
So he rang me, and he said, I reckon I have your bag here,
mm-hmm.
which he had. And he dropped up the bag, and I emptied the bag. But the robber didn't get the 950.
Ah, this is the 950 you already had in the bag.
Yes.
But obviously you had it down the zipped area.
I
whatever.
Had it in the zipped area.
And then when he
bag.
Saw you taking out the bundle of money, he presumed you put it all together, which you did.
Yeah.
So when he followed you, which is awful, and eventually got the bag, he just went. He was focused on getting that bundle of money. He got the bundle of money, but he left behind 950.
He left behind 950. Now, the slugs had it all winter long.
No.
And they eat all the 50 euro notes.
No.
Apart from the strips.
The metal strips.
I sent you a photograph of the strips.
Okay, I'm being handed that now, I'm told. So, the slug, the handbag was thrown into a field. And you reckon it was slugs who ate the money, at the 950
euro? Oh, yes, you can see it was all, because my bag was full of slugs. My purse, my wallet was full of slugs. The whole inside of the bag was full of slugs. And they eat all the 50 euro notes, apart from the strips. So I was out of the whole lot. The bank wouldn't honour the 950 even. So I was at the last of the whole lot.
Okay, come back to the... Okay, we'll tweet the photograph of
I can barely hear you, Joe.
Okay, we'll tweet the photograph of the money and people of the remainder of the money. Now, it looks pretty substantial to me. What did the bank say when they said, no, your 950 is gone to the richest slugs in Ireland, from the richest diet in Ireland anyway?
Yeah, there wasn't enough of information to... see that they were legal.
But who says no?
Central bank.
Or the central bank say no.
That's who you have to submit the...
Okay, and did you put a case?
Yes. The final word is no, won't get the 950. Or won't get the 2050 either. Despite the fact that it actually began in the Bank of Ireland.
Yeah.
And in my view, I shouldn't have been let out of that bank that day. That I was in danger.
Okay.
But that's the way they operate.
Now, I'm looking at the photograph of the 950 eating the slug after the slugs had their Christmas dinner. I don't know. I'm sure they have systems, forensics, and microscopes and tweezers.
Yes,
and
I thought that too.
Yeah. Where is the money now?
Pardon?
Where is the slug? The slug, not knowing where the slugs are, they're probably in Las Vegas spending that money, or Marbella, or Costa del Slug, or Slug Pedro, or whatever the slugs go on the holidays. But where is the remainder of the money? Do you still have it?
No, it's in the central bank. I cleaned it up and I put it into a plastic food bag.
But like, I'm saying to myself, well, I don't know if we have one in Ireland. We don't. I would know about it. A money museum. There is a revenue museum, actually. There is a revenue museum in Dublin Castle. Fantastic museum. It has all the old imprints and stamps and various things. It's in the bowels of Dublin Castle. Like, could revenue not take it? Take this example of the money, like put it in a nice frame. We get an artist to work on it, put it in a frame behind glass. And this could be this is what happens when slugs eat your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they could buy it off you for 950, 950 euro. It's worth at least that.
I'm welcome to do that if they give me my 950.
And we could get some great artists like Mick O'Dea or James Handley or Brian McCarthy, any of those artists to make something of it. They do an incredible job. An incredible job. I think I'm looking at the photograph. There is a work of art in there somewhere.
Well, if you can push it on, good luck to you, Joe. But I'd like my 950 now, and I'd also like my 2050. But I'm not going to get either.
And when you explained it to the guards, that you got a phone call from the bank saying, are you okay?
Yeah, they know all the details.
Okay.
They know every thing that went on the day.
What are they following? A definite line of inquiry?
They are, but sure, you know.
But you see, remember, now the bank can't presume before a crime is committed, I can't. Well, the Gardaí have operations, but the bank couldn't presume. If they had walked out and accused that man of trying to rob money off you, he could have sued them. It's happened for defamation. It's happened over less.
Well, you see, but they anyway, were on top of the problem on the day. They saw him.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what he was after, that they were after me, that he was after me. And he was. Definitely came down right into my house.
And how are you since, Kathleen? Do you?
Oh, sure. It took me a long time. Every
did it, yeah?
Time I heard a noise outside, I thought he was back again. You know? But I do hope he's listening today, Joe, and that he finds out that he missed the 9:50.
Yeah, that there's some...
But I'm quite sure he's not, because he's too busy robbing people.
Yeah.
But that was the way it happened for me. But I hear people... Like they give out their bank details and stuff to people that they don't know. And they get robbed of money. But I didn't do that. I was minding my own business.
Yeah.
And yet I was accosted by this person at the Bank of Ireland. But that's the way. I'm at the last of my money now anyway.
But you see, I keep coming back to the 9:50. Maybe I'm wrong. I am wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong again. But... I see a piece of artwork in it. I see the central bank saying, yes, we are going to use this as an exhibit. What happens if your money, if you leave a handbag in a shed with money in it or under the stairs where there might be slugs? This is what happens. So don't do it. You with me, Kathleen?
Well, I am.
I'm doing my best for you.
But how do you approach that? I don't know.
We'll try and find a way. At the central bank, lads, come on. 9:50. They have it. I'd be if you had it back. Well, that's the end of it. But they have it in their premises on the keys in Dublin, and well, maybe hopefully because they do.
Well, I mean, they have the
central bank.
Now.
They do altruistic stuff. They did incredible set of coins for Philip Linnett, incredible set. So they are into, you know, pack. They are into presentation and communication. So maybe we'll do our best, Kathleen. We'll keep in touch. Kathleen, mind yourself. And remember, I said it yesterday, these guys, it's just completely opportunistic. There's no way he'll come back to you. Don't be worried. Please try not to be worried. They're completely, as you say, they've moved on and they're doing something else and they're watching someone else. And
thing about it is he knows where I live. Like.
Yeah, but he won't come back. Mm-hmm. He won't come back, Kathleen. He's gone. He's gone. Seriously, he's gone. Try not to worry too much. You mentioned the Galway races. Do you follow the races?
Oh, on and off, yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't? Anybody living in Galway?
Absolutely. Well, they happened this year, but behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
How'd you manage during the pandemic? Though that's pretty memorable. What happened? You're coming out of the bank, but how did you manage during the pandemic?
Looked after ourselves and took the advice of the experts and
Well done.
We arrived this side of it safely.
And remember the first big event that was controversial around the COVID, and it proved the Warriors proved to be correct, was Cheltenham, that great race event back in March. But anyway, Kathleen, stay well, and thanks. Oh, there's Jan Maher. Jan, good afternoon in Walkinstown.
Hiya, Joe. How's it going?
Okay,
thank you.
Tell us, Jan. Now, stay with us, Kathleen. You might hear something.
Joe, in the Bank of England, they have a unit that work in the Bank of England, and it's called the Recovery Unit.
Okay.
And if you have a dog and he eats your money, or if you have your money in a tea caddy and it's up the chimney and it gets burned, you bring it into them. They go through it, and they work out how much money was in it, and they give you the value of that money.
Okay. How do you know it?
They do that.
They do it, okay. There's a recovery unit in the Bank of England.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
if you bring in old legal tender.
Yeah,
the
I know.
The money is still there.
Yeah.
Because they can tell you what was in it.
Okay.
And they give you the value of that money.
And you can still do that, and you can go down to the keys in Dublin.
Correct.
And in your own. Probably...
And they do that in the Bank of England.
Okay. So you're...
And the thing is, if you have money and it was up the chimney and it got burnt or it got shredded or anything like that, you can bring it into the bank and they will go through it. It's called a recovery unit.
And have you managed to have a look at the photograph we've just tweeted of the money?
No.
Like it is, it's quite fascinating. It's all the metal.
But if you have the threads, Joe, if you have the threads, they're the money.
Yeah.
They're a polyester thread.
Okay.
They can tell what they're out of.
That's a very good point, forensically. And it's all the metal strips and paper around the metal strips.
The polyester strip, Joe, it's not metal.
Oh, thank you very much, Jan. Do you print money?
No.
Okay. Okay. You couldn't tell me if you did anyway. Sure you couldn't.
I'd be in the jar if I printed money.
Unless you're out in the Central Bank out in Sandyford, that's an incredible printing press, an operation, fantastic to their credit. But you can still see 50, the big 50, the numerals, you can still see the all the polyester strips are there. Do you think that might be enough?
It is enough, Joe. Each one of them is out of a banknote.
Okay.
It's not up to the Bank of Ireland to do it. It's the Central Bank you want to get on to.
Yeah, they've been on, she was on, they said no, the Central Bank said no.
They said no, why?
Because they said there wasn't enough of the money left. The slugs have got the best of the money.
There's no paper left, but they have the thread.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it here.
Well, if it's the European Central Bank and they're providing the thread and the buyers are printing the money, they should know it's the money.
And the other thing as well.
It's easy to say no, isn't it?
And yeah, it is. And then working backwards, Jan. Jan, is it Jan rather than Jan? Jan, I think. Working backwards, nobody could have spent the rest of those notes.
No, because if you tear them out of the notes, they won't accept them in the bank.
Exactly.
They're not there.
That's
the woman isn't trying to spend the money. She's getting her money replaced, Joe. There's a difference.
Yeah. Kathleen, are you a little bit buoyed by what Jan is saying?
Well, I mean, I'd be delighted if I could get at least the 950 back.
Well, there, I'm counting how many 50 notes are there, how many strips are there, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24 strips at 50.
That's 1,200 euros.
So the strips are there. And you can't spend a note without those strips.
Not at all, Joe.
So we're working backwards. It's the way a lot of scientists do. I'm not a scientist. Okay, Jan, you're on. Dan, thank you for your advice.
All right.
You're giving Kathleen a little bit more hope and me a little bit more hope. Thanks to the Jan Maher from Box and Dublin. Okay, Kathleen, we're on the case. We're on the case.
Well, I'd be delighted if somebody could help me.
Yeah. And now that's unfair, especially what you've been through. And as Jan said, you have the strips.
Absolutely.
The slugs didn't go into the local slug supermarket near where you live, and or the slug betting office, or the slug pub, and slug down a few slug points and slug whiskies, and get stoshes, and they're all sitting there, and the slug barman is saying, "What's the story, lads? The head on you?" And they said, "Yeah, we're after buying a handbag."
We have very excellent slug.
And it's gorgeous. Did you ever taste the 50 notes of that gorge? Okay, Kathleen, we're on the job, on the case. Come hell or high water, we will try. We will fight the case for that 950. Okay, Kathleen, thanks. Okay, thanks.
And just one other thing.
Okay, here's another man. John O'Donnell. John.
How are you, Joe?
You were senior. You were in the bank or the central bank?
No, the bank.
The bank, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have you any hope for Kathleen?
No, because they need a set of serial numbers so that they can distinguish the notes. And then do a reimbursement.
Yeah, but that was back in old God's time, John.
Well, you see, if you have a part of a note, somebody else could have claimed it.
But it couldn't.
By having either side of the serial numbers.
Well, I see a couple of serial numbers. I do. I see 1, 2 serial numbers. But no one, my point is nobody could have spent the rest of that note because it was completely invalid, because all that's left is, as Jan pointed out, I thought it was a metal strip, it's a polyester strip, which is unique to every printing.
That I don't know about, but if it's you,
okay.
how many sets of notes do they print in
yeah,
a batch?
Surely, but if some, yeah, I know, but your worry is that someone else could have submitted... The slugs, no, I'm joking here. But the slugs didn't make their way to Dublin and give up the other half of the note.
No, I fully accept
But you're
that.
Saying in the world we live in, somebody could, not Kathleen's world and not your world, but somebody in the world we live in, somebody could have taken the other part, which I'm sure has happened previously. But if they did, they would have had to go into the central bank in Dublin with the other part of the note, wouldn't they?
That's right.
And
that's
surely right. The central bank, all they have to do is say, lads and lassies, how many 50, it was stolen in April and the bag was found in August. And is there anything that matches this story? Surely it could. Or maybe, I don't know, John, you worked in a bank branch. Is there a lot, does this happen a lot?
It happens an awful lot, yeah, because if you put money into Jean's pocket and wash it,
I know that.
But half a note comes out. I mean, you'd have a dozen cases a week. It wouldn't be an unusual occurrence, you know?
Yeah, but the appearance of those strips, you can see that they were eaten away.
Mm. Yeah, but those strips aren't a unique identifier to a particular note.
You're saying every note has a strip?
Yes.
And is the strip?
But a note is invalid without the strip.
It is.
There's an argument here. So we're in a moral maze here, John.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a moral maze.
If anybody had a sense of common sense, any bit of common sense, you would say, yeah, there's a lot of money here, and there's a trail with the Gardaí to show that the money existed and was stolen. You would think that common sense would prevail, but.
And remember, and in fairness, like the low life here was not the slug. The low life is the fella who robbed the 3,000 who followed Kathleen. That's, and it's worth remembering that. But hopefully the central bank might make a gesture. John, thanks indeed, John. That's John O'Donnell.
I've got
Emile Maggart and Kathleen as well. I'll say goodbye, Slán. Say goodbye, Kathleen. 51551 Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Ivan was followed from the bank as well. That's where Kathleen's story began, and we ended up with the slugs. But Ivan, what happened to you?
Yeah, Joe, it was actually in Dublin. It was in a Bank of Ireland Glasnevin. I was actually looking back, Joe, at some of the images, because I remember I did a good bit of follow-up at the time.
Okay.
It was the 19th of October 2018.
Right.
Again, similar to Margaret yesterday. I actually pulled over because Margaret's story was just so similar to mine from yesterday. Okay. I went in, got some cash out of the bank, got into the car, Bank of Ireland, Glasnevin, beside Botanic Gardens, and I drove up through Drumcondra and pulled into the Boddington to get some lunch, and went in there. I'd say I was in there, Joe, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Came out, and the car park was like a scene from the heist movie. Police, everything there. And I said, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I walked over, and it was my car. I couldn't believe it. I saw the passenger side door smashed. The police were already there on the scene. Someone had called the police and they were just driving by.
Mm-hmm.
Van Garda and a Garda. And said, is this your car? I said, yeah. And they said, did you have something in it? I said, yeah, I put money in an envelope under the passenger seat. He said, I presume you just came from the bank. And a penny just dropped straight away. I said, how did you know? I said, you were followed. That's exactly what the Garda said to me. You were followed. So I remember there was a guy in front of the car at the time. He waved over and he said, I've got it all on video. I said, what? I said, yeah, I got it. I was petrified. He said, I'll show you. And he showed us and the guard of the video. He said he couldn't believe it. He was just sitting in the car. And he said, they followed you in. I'm looking at some of the, actually went in afterwards to Boddington and they had great CCTV footage of it as well. And he showed me the video, and it was three guys. Now, this was organized, Joe. This, you know, I'm sure this has been going on for years and years and years. Just, you know, opportunity outside the bank and just, you know, try and get lucky, you know. And they followed me in, parked beside me. When I went in, they drove up, blocked the car. Three guys with caps on crowbars, each of them had crowbars. The window wouldn't smash for them with the one crowbar. They had to hit it with the two crowbars. It eventually smashed, and you see a guy basically clambering in over just on the chance that the envelope was there, and it was.
They knew what they were going after. They knew what they were looking
for. They knew exactly what they were going after. And, like, the feeling you get, like Margaret, you're just you got it, you know what I mean? So he had it on, and then the feeling you get is like, well, wow, you know, being robbed here, like, you know. So went into the Boddington. They were fantastic. They basically looked back on the CCTV. You could see me. I'm looking back because I still have it on the phone here, Joe. I'm looking back at it here. Still brings back, like, even though.
And
it's
was
2 years,
enough in all your sleuthing, Ivan? Did you seem to have done a lot? Were they caught?
No. These guys are gone. Like, they're gone, Joe. This is an organised racket. I'm sure they're doing other stuff, but on their downtime, they're basically just hovering outside.
And
banks,
did you get close to finding out who they were?
No. So basically, what happened then? Well, we went into Boddington, got all the footage, and then what I did for the next week or two, would you believe it, Joe? I retraced all my steps, and I went into the guys in Fagan's pub there, and you can see me pulling up to the lights in Fagan's. You can see they were two back from me at that stage in Ford Focus. Three guys, all had baseball caps on, and when I contacted the bank, it was a new bank manager at the time. It didn't look like there was anyone in the bank at the time. It looked like they were just looking at people coming out of the bank and randomly going, we'll go after this one. And it was funny enough, you know, when I was chatting to the guards, I said, listen, you know, I minute when I saw that smashed window, the first thing I asked you was, did you come from the bank? Mm-hmm. I said, wow. Yeah, did you have, cash, it's gone. So, you know, they literally had to take everything. Looking at the pictures there now, had to take everything out of the car, and the car was put in a low, they made absolute, the damage alone from losing the money to the insurance company, like, that you want to see the damage to the car. They couldn't get the window open initially, so they tried to crowbar it open.
Wow.
So the whole door was damaged, the roof was damaged. Like, you're talking thousands of pounds of damage to the car alone. Unbelievable. And it was basically taken away on a low loader and gone for forensics, for fingerprints, because obviously the guards, you know, this was, you know, obviously some sort of organised racket. So they wanted to try and get these guys eventually. And then obviously off for repairs. I'd say I was without the car for about 3 weeks, you know.
And the money gone, whatever.
The money gone.
On the car,
and like, I remember chatting to the guy in front who got on video. And I remember, because would you believe it, when I came back from work the odd time from town, I would sit outside the bank to see if I could see these guys again. Okay. I was seriously, like, for a long time, I was kind of going, wow. Like, but I assume they're harboring from bank to bank, and it just, you know, they rotate and stuff like that. And eventually they get around to where Margaret's one was or whatever every 6 months. I don't know what they're doing, but these guys, these aren't just the normal guy, like the caller you had on from Galway.
Given their intensity and their
unbelievable
energy at getting at the money, you wouldn't be approaching these guys, would you?
No. And like, I remember, you know, I think my dad, my brother at the time was saying, just let it go. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because you don't want these guys. Like the first guy couldn't get the window broken with one crowbar, so they had another crowbar come out of the car. You could see this all on video.
You think they were going after the crown jewels or something, but
exactly.
they got them.
And Joe, did they know how much money was in the envelope? No. So this could be anything. Like, you know what I mean? And that's amazing to think that they went to that much effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But literally, these guys, you know, I presume they're doing other stuff as well, and, you know, they just hover in front of banks the odd time as well. Incredible.
Okay. Ivan, well told, and I'm sorry you went through that. Thanks indeed. That's Ivan in Dublin. Ivan mentioned an envelope, but back to Kathleen and the money eaten by the slugs, nearly €1,000. Adele, what happened in your case?
Well, Joe, it was a good few years ago now, during the time of the punts, and my son was about 2, maybe 3 years of age, and I happened to have an envelope on the table, and there was about £200 to £300 at the time. And I was shredding things. I was shredding some paperwork or whatever. And he had asked me if he could put something in. And sure, I kind of turned around and whatever. And before I realised it, he had the envelope full of cash put through the shredder.
Okay.
And I nearly died of heart attack. So I turned around then. I tried to get it out, but it was completely shredded, like. But
little spaghetti strips.
Oh, it was desperate.
Okay.
And I got it off, right, because at the time now it was badly needed. I nearly had a heart attack. So I brought it to the Bank of Ireland at the time, and I was told that they had to send it to the Mutilated Notes Department.
The MND department, the Mutilated Notes Department
is what they called it.
Must write that down. Hang on, I spell
yeah.
it. The Mutilated Note Department.
Yeah.
Okay. For notes that happen to be mutilated.
Happen to be mutilated, yeah.
Accidentally mutilated.
Yes.
By the way, those shredders, I'm thinking of your child with his hand.
Oh, no, it's had a little protective thing.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, okay. But it didn't. It managed to take the envelope in anyway and completely shred it. And it kind of the machine itself wouldn't work, I don't think, after that, because by the time
we'll go on to the bank and still see if does anyone know, is there still a mutilated note department within the B of I? Okay, or did it disappear in the crash? We'll find out. But they gave you your £300 back.
They did.
Well done. Okay, and how's your boy now? What age is he now?
Oh, not a bother on him, but we always mention it to him now.
He's not shredding money on you, literally.
He's definitely not. Yeah, he's shredding it a different way.
I know. See you though.
Okie doke.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.